And I could see Linda. I didn't want to look. She was like this. And I'm thinking, something's wrong. And so when I was done, I said, geez, hon, it was kind of a weird thing. Go to the bathroom. All right. All these brown drip spots. And I had war paint on, just mixing these on all the way down my face. And yeah, so that was the end of that. So makeup is a no-no, especially with a white shirt. It is a real pleasure and honor to be here with you this morning. It's nothing I enjoy more than having multiple opportunities to speak. And so obviously we were together yesterday, and to be here this morning and there next is going to be amazing. Even though the church is one, everyone's in a different place, which is really good. Again, Pastor Sean's appreciation. I guess is he here? He left already. He has to go get ready. He's upstairs. There he is, doing sound. How are we doing, okay? All right, great. And obviously for Pastors Phil and Linda, it was because of them that I have this incredible opportunity, an honorable opportunity to be a part of what the Lord is doing, not only in their lives, and the lives of their children, grandchildren now, but in your lives as well. So please understand how grateful I am that you're here this morning. And then I get the opportunity. Luke chapter 2. My Linda sends her love. She's got the same fresh spirit as this Linda, but darker hair. And she doesn't have that, you know, don't you love, you hear Pastor Phil prophesy, I wish I could speak with that accent. Even when I try to imitate him, Linda goes, just not there, Jay. I said, all right, I'm just trying. Luke chapter 2, we're going to go back to that incarnation time period this morning. Verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel which he was conceived in the womb, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For as is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, and he was waiting, loved the word. There was this passionate waiting for the consolation, the enlightening, the refreshing, the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Ghost is upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things and which are spoken of. And Simeon blessed them and said unto his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Verse 36. And there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. For when they had prepared all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee and unto their own city of Nazareth. Matthew chapter 3. Beautiful story. We'll talk about those two in a moment. Matthew chapter 2. Sorry. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chiefs and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for which is was spoken of the prophet. Verse 6, for thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou least of among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel. Of course, the prophet Micah. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently when the star should appear. And when he sent them down to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, saying, I will come and worship him also. And when they had heard these, the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they were rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's pray. Beautiful. Father, I thank you again for the as I've already expressed, the incredible honor and privilege for me to be here this morning with this great people. Lord, do something in us this morning. Let the revelation of Jesus Christ be ours. The revelation of this kingdom of God that we already sang, that it would come in such a way our world would never be the same again. Father, that we would see you in ways we've never seen you before. This morning, let it be marked in our lives that that day in December, everything changed. Father, I thank you for that. Out of this historical moment, Lord, speak present truth to us. In Jesus' name, amen. It was probably the darkest time of Israel's history. The only times comparable to this moment was the deportation of the northern tribes by the Assyrians in 722 BC. Please don't mind this history. The next would probably be the Babylonian captivity, 605 BC. For 70 years, the southern part of Israel would be in disarray. The capital city of Jerusalem would be laid waste by the strength of King Nebuchadnezzar's army. This was the Roman occupation. Matthew will write later in his gospel that the people from Zebulun to Naphtali around the Sea of Galilee sat in darkness. Can you imagine how dark the world would be if the people of God were sitting in darkness? It had been 14 generations since the glory of God had been with his people. Abraham would never have recognized them, nor Moses. They were no longer the people of God. They were much like the surrounding nations. Only by name were they like them. They had strayed so much from the law of Moses. Even the priesthood had no idea what their ultimate intentions were. This young woman will bring this child to this temple to present him to the Lord. Mary is probably 14 or 15 years old. She will leave Nazareth and come south to Jerusalem. It isn't Solomon's temple, nor Zerubbabel's. It is Herod's temple. It was always to be a house of worship unto his God. It was to be a house of prayer for all nations, but it had become a den of thieves. There were money changers exchanging money, arguing over sacrifices. There were men selling lambs, men selling pigeons, and men selling bullocks. It had become an arguing place. It had become a place of hatred, a place of anger. It was nothing like it was supposed to be. Can you imagine this young woman coming with her newborn child to dedicate him to the Lord? It was the law of Moses. It was what she was supposed to do. I can imagine she walked into that temple holding that child with this arguing and blistering attitude. I imagine she must have looked at her husband Joseph wondering. I'm sure men bumped into her and thought, what is this woman doing in here with a child as they were debating over sacrifice and over animals and over money? I love this first person we're going to look at this morning. I love Simeon. He deals with my life. In a moment of time that every man is thinking about himself, every man is only concerned about himself, this man has a different spirit. He has a different heart. There's something in him that he knows it is never to be this way. He is looking for the answer for his life and for his family's life. I'm sure like every good Jew, he laid aside money and he made plans for his family. But it wasn't about the money. It was about the plans. He knew the only answer for his sons and his daughters and his grandchildren was they needed the Christ. I believe God has been working that same thing in our hearts. No matter what our world is, no matter what they say about our world, no matter how dark they declare our world to be, I want you to know something. I believe God is laying in all of our hearts like this man. I've got to see the Lord's Christ. He is, by the Holy Ghost, knows before his death. He is probably 70 years old. Everywhere he would look, there would be bathhouses. Immorality in a way that he had never seen before. He really should have been angry with God and angry at the people of God, but this man wasn't concerned about where the world was nor where his people were. He had only one concern, and it was this way. Mary walked in that day holding that young child, and I can only imagine Simeon. How many days did he come to this temple looking for this one that would be the light to the Gentiles and the hope of Israel, that would be the glory of Israel, though he had never seen the glory of God. He had never seen the temple of God. He only knew it by written history, what it once was like. I can only imagine that this one day he would walk into this temple and he would see her. I'm sure he has a face something like this. It's like mine is every time I see him. I'm sure he began to make his way over there. I can only imagine that Mary must have looked and said to Joseph, "That guy is looking at me. He's coming over here." Joseph probably looked, and Simeon made his way. I don't know how he got Jesus in his hand. 33 days old he is. I love this about him. He looks into this infant. It appears like nothing, but he sees everything. It's only a smidgen of what Jesus is to be, but he sees a full work of God in such a small amount of him. Man, if I want to do anything to us this morning, is that you and I see the immensity of God, even if it's only a small little portion of him. And he begins in front of all of this and in front of Mary and Joseph, he begins to declare, "My eyes have seen thy salvation. Here he is, the light to lighten the Gentiles and the hope and glory of Israel." There was another person there. I love this woman. You see, in Herod's temple, there was a place for the widows. Anna, we know, lived there. I love the description of her by Luke because he's very specific. He says to her, she was married 7 years after her virginity. She was 20 years old. In this culture, that's how it was. It was an arranged marriage. And here she was married to this man. I would imagine, as I know all my nieces, my own daughter, my granddaughters now, I've got one that is 30 years old. I got another one that's going to become 18. My 30-year-old's dream is to be married. And it's in the heart of every woman. Can you imagine when she finally got married? This is her husband. People, her friends are probably waiting. Is it happened? Yes. And he died. She is childless. Now, in our culture, if you don't have children, it's okay, it's cool, you know, whatever you want to make a choice. But in this culture, you appeared to be cursed. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with your womb. And on top of it, your husband dies. No one redeems her. It was the law of Moses that said, if your husband dies, his kin was to redeem you. She is a woman unredeemed, childless, without a husband. She should have been bitter. But she wasn't. She should have been angry at her life. Why me? How come this is happening to me? She wasn't. No. She turned all that possibility of bitterness, possibility of anger, the disappointments that she would feel, the people talking, "Yeah, there she is, Anna. Oh, yeah, her husband died, but she was only 20 years old. She was only married for a while. Does she have any children?" No. No, and she's never been redeemed. She lives somewhere behind the temple. I'm sure they talked about her. I'm sure she knew, like any one of us is, when people talk, you wonder what they're saying. And it's amazing to me she wasn't angry and bitter or just sold to the streets. Oh, no, not this woman. She takes her life, and Luke will describe that she lived in the temple worshiping and serving God night and day with fasting and prayer. Who is this woman in a dark day like this? Man, she deals with my life. When I look at it and think, boy, I'm getting really ripped off. I'm getting, this, as my father would say, the short end of the stick. What's going on with me? What's my problem? Why was I born here? Where's God? Not her. I love the idea. The idea, even Luke's words, the fastings were to search for God. The prayers were looking for him. It wasn't a fasting out of mourning. It was a fasting of, I want to see you. I want to know you. Well, I tell you, I've always had an easy time worshiping him in the day or in the light. But I've not been so good in the dark or in the unseen portions or the dark times of my life. But this woman, she's fasting and praying and worshiping him. It isn't just serving him. It's worship service. She's doing it unto him. She does it in the bright times of her life and in the dim and dark times of her life. What is she doing? Oh, man. Now, there's some scholars say she's 84. I don't agree. I think she's 104. Either way, Luke is very nice. This is old age. He's a good man. You don't talk about a woman's age. He knew. I'm learning. So she comes out. I don't know, how long does it take to walk out at 104? I don't know. Is it something, you know, I live around a lot of older people. This is a quick pace right here. I mean, this is like lightning. It's unless you have one of these. I don't think she had that. She comes out, and I love this, though, because the beautiful thing about our God is in every generation, there's a remnant looking for him. I believe I'm talking to them. And she hears Simeon in the midst of the arguing and the fighting and the yelling. She hears him. And she turns to them and says, repeats the same thing. There he is, the Lord's Christ. The light to lighten the Gentiles has come. The one to redeem Israel, the one to bring consolation, comfort to her, the one to redeem us, what we've been longing for. The Lord has kept his word. I love these two in the midst of the day they're living in. I want to be Simeon to my own family, to my own people, to our nation. I want to be Anna in a time when it appears like my life has been a waste of time. In reality, it never has been a waste of time. That God has set a place for us that we can believe him even in the most impossible moments and times of our life. But there's another person here. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I read it the first time years ago. I just stumbled through it because I thought, how is it possible that Jerusalem, the city David began looking for the Messiah spoken about in the garden, how can they finally hear that a king has been born and they're troubled? How is it possible the people of God could be troubled knowing the king has come? But they were. It's these last moments that I want to talk about Herod for just a moment. When I first got born again and started this church life, you know, we would come and this church, they had an hour of prayer and the pastor spoke for an hour and a half. Now, I grew up in a church that 30 minutes, I was already biting my nails. I read the bulletin 64 times and pulled the missalette out about 20 times. And my father looked on, and I, you know, it was hard for me to sit still at 12. I'm not much better at it at my age now. And it was so just boring. This wasn't boring. This is pretty awesome, but it was long. You know, I was like, and Linda said, don't look at your watch anymore. Okay. And my head wasn't shiny because there was hair on it. But they taught us that we're supposed to praise and worship. And I knew that he was God, and I knew that he was king. And so I did it because I was supposed to, I was told. Matthew uses this word with Herod. When the wise men come to him, the magi, And it says, we've heard and we've seen the star that the king is born. We've come to worship him. Then they go along and Herod says to them, listen, I want you to know, when you find him, bring me word that I might worship him too. And when the Magi get to him and they see him in Bethlehem, they bring out frankincense and myrrh and they are worshiping him. Beautiful words Matthew uses, but they're not the same. This helped me. This struck me. See, Herod was Idumean. He was half Jew, half Greek, really half Samaritan. And he considered himself a Jew. But the Jews didn't care for him at all because he called himself Jew, but he never practiced the religion. He never practiced any of the law of Moses. He didn't. They weren't that far off. And here's what he said. He said to them, when you find him, bring me word because I'm going to come and bow my knee because he is of a higher rank than me. He is of a greater authority than me, so I'll come and bow my knee. They said to him, we want to worship him. We want to bow our knee to him because we're in awe and we're in honor and we want to bring honor and glory to his name. See, when I first got born again and started coming to a church like this, I bowed my knee because I felt it was my responsibility because he deserved it because he was the higher rank. He was the highest rank. I thought that's what was why he came, and that's why I was there. I've come to find out that is not why. He didn't come for me or you to bow our knee because he was a higher ranking authority or a highest ranking official or highest ranking person. No, 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 no. He came for one thing, that out of love and passion, I would simply bow my knee. Because he was worthy of it. Herod lived his entire life proclaiming he was a person of the kingdom, but never really saw the king for who he was. I want to say to us this morning, as we enter into this new time period, let nothing of Herod be in us. He hasn't come to us or come to this world to cause me to bow my knee out of demand or out of requirement. He came that I would bow my knee out of love and honor and giving him glory that he might be exalted before me and before us. I've gotten better at bowing my knee. I have found out that it's good. It's not easy to bow the knee. I'm sure you're finding it out. It's a place of humility. It's a place of submission, of subjecting myself. I used to have to almost make myself do it. Now I got to admit, I just can't help but to. I want what Simeon had in my life. I want what Simeon had in our lives. Come on, Grandpa, Grandma. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. Come on, Uncle. Come on, Aunt. Come on, Brother. Come on, Sister. In our world, let this be our passion. I love Anna. I used to speak about Anna to women. Be like Anna. And then I thought, I want to be like Anna. There's not one of us in here that doesn't feel we have deserved more in life. There's not one of us. That maybe we were not treated absolutely right. Maybe we feel like God could have been more involved in our life. But when I look at her, I think, if she could make the decision to, with worship service, pursuit, and prayer, looking for him in the midst of her life and in the midst of such a day, so can't I. So can't we. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this simplicity of the gospel. It's beautiful. Thank you for the text, these incredible people that lived in such a time, such a moment, to give us hope and strength and energy and courage in our day. No matter what they say, no matter how dark they may declare it to be, we're looking for the Lord's Christ, for his appearing. You are yet the light to the Gentiles, and you're the hope of the church. Father, strengthen us in this season that we believe you. And celebrating you, our hearts burn to behold you. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How about you, Lord, hand for me, please? Yeah, great.